This week's episode of A Better Day will not be seen and will return next week. Stay tuned as WSWN brings you the following live presentation of The Shining Wizards.
The Shining Wizards podcast is intended for entertainment purposes only. Opinions expressed by the host and guest are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the podcast or its affiliates. Content may include adult language or themes and is not suitable for all audiences. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live in high-definition video and available on all podcasting and streaming platforms. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Check out our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Do your Amazon shopping at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And now, it's time for the Shining Wizards.
All right, welcome to episode 799 of the Shining Wizards podcast. We got a hell of a show tonight because there are four big shows, coming up this weekend. Plus, TNA's dumpster fire continues to burn bright. I'm sure we'll hit on that. Also, if you like King of the Ring, 90s wrestling, and Giant Gonzalez, we are rebooking the 1993 King of the Ring. Also, we got JCW, MLW, homework, so let's get into it with some wrestling talk.
Man, talk about wrestling.
Brundo.
Double T.
Tony.
And some Kevin.
Brundo, impressive.
Wow, yeah, it only took me 99 episodes not to fuck it up.
Oh, that's right, you were official on 700, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Now, which one of you guys thinks you can beat the living shit out of John Moxley?
I'll probably take him, yeah.
Yeah, right here.
All right, so it's not just Bully Ray.
What a bitch.
Well, I mean, HK looks like he's part of the fucking Death Riders anyway, so.
Yeah.
Good point.
HK and the Death Riders? Fucking awesome.
It's a fucking weird fucking last couple days in the world of pro wrestling. Holy
oh boy, that's for fucking sure.
How you guys doing? Tony, you went to Indiana. You didn't even tell us until you were there.
It was kind of a surprise all around, you know? It was a last minute kind of thing. Thank God for Juneteenth, extra day off of work, so we made a trip out of it.
I love it. Did you have a good time?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Very good time.
That's good. And you took the whole family?
Yeah, well, I mean, the three of us, that's the whole family.
The whole family.
Yeah. I mean, Uncle Danny didn't come with us.
Diana and your brother.
I mean, I would have, you know, but, you know, it is what it is. We had fun. We saw the Indianapolis Speedway. We saw the ins and outs of the local town called Greenfield. It was good times.
Did you see the Hoosier Dome?
No, we did not. Yeah. And we didn't go to the Hoosier Court, whatever it's called, like the gym where they filmed the movie. That was kind of down the road, but, you know, we budgeted our time a little differently. We did some shapping.
I got to ask, right, because me, you, and Brundo, we're New Jersey guys, right? Down the road is probably, like, down the road. But HK, Minnesota, down the road, like, where's the tattoo shop? Down the road, 45 minutes away. Was the gym, like, East Coast down the road or, like, Midwest? Yeah, it's, like, down the road an hour away.
No, it was, like, 15, 20 minutes. Okay. It was down the road.
Yeah.
Cool. Like if I was going to Brundo's, I'd say I'm going down the road to Brundo's. You know, that's how close it was.
Sort yeah. of. Because all right. Close. Good. Well, I'm glad you had a good time.
Yeah, it was fun. It was lots of fun. Good people, good company. Yeah, graduation. The kid's going to be a high school graduate in a couple of days too.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Are you having a party?
No, just, see you later. Jesus.
I guess he didn't like being a death rider.
Well, what the fuck, man? That threw me off. Anyway, no, we're just going out to eat after the ceremony, and that's pretty much it. Might be hitting up El Cid's, might be going for some hibach. We don't know yet. It's not 100%.
If you guys do go to El Cid, you and him should absolutely get those the giant prime rib they have there and see who finishes it.
Oh, I can't do that. You know how much food I ate the past couple days, dude? I'm in trouble.
Yeah, but you have like a day and a half before the ceremony, right? So you could fast.
Yeah. Yeah, today wasn't so bad. Today wasn't so bad.
I had that wedding last night on the truck, so I didn't make dinner. So I went to Taco Bell. Terrible fucking decision.
Oof. That's a bad decision, bro.
Terrible decision. And I didn't even go like crazy. My fucking stomach was killing me, and I like could have slept in so late today. And I jumped out of bed at like 8:15 to just fucking. It looked like Kennedy's head in the fucking toilet bowl. Come on, man. Just a fucking mess.
Oh,
Tony, boy, you got an extra laptop Kevin can borrow?
I'm not even going to say it. Brundo, how was your weekend?
It was fucking great. I had a great Father's Day. It was beautiful. Thank you, sir. We went to the New York Boulders game yesterday up in Nanuet, and they led they let you come on the field afterwards and have a catch with your kid. So we're out there for 20 minutes playing catch on a baseball field.
That's did you come? Awesome. Did you come before you caught?
Yes.
Good. Good for you.
A couple of times.
All right. Handsome Kevin's having computer problems. Computing problems. Computer problems.
Computing problems works.
Computing problems.
So what's Bully Ray's problem?
I don't know. He fucking went and he said the Death Riders thing isn't getting over. It's stale, and he could beat the shit out of John Moxley.
You know what, though? He probably could.
No, I don't think so at all. Like, Moxley, he's legit. He trains in a lot of shit, so.
Well, didn't he also get his ass kicked whenever he did that Taekwondo shit?
Yeah, he won one of those tournaments.
Yeah, I did. Kicked everybody's ass.
Is it? I don't know. This week is a bad week to be on Busted Open, apparently. Between Bully Ray and Tommy Dreamer, it's not a good time.
Oh yeah.
But are you surprised about Tommy Dreamer though?
No, not really.
Everything he's ever done with women has been like hiking up their skirts, giving them pile drivers, turning all four sides to make sure everybody sees the thong. He's done some spankings over the years, like. And Justin says maybe feet, maybe awesome. Tommy Dreamer's into feet as well.
I bet he is. He seems like a person that would be in defeat.
Defeat? Like Tony Atlas in defeat?
It's possible.
Is he still an ISPW champion, Tony Atlas?
I think so. I think he's like their North American champion or something.
No, Tri-State or some shit like
Tri-State,
that.
Tri-State, that was North it. America. Yeah, Tri-State. Just
take it easy.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's too many titles to keep track of everything. Yeah. I don't know. The Tommy Dreamer stuff is weird.
Hi, Charmaine. Yeah. We see you.
Dude, I thought that said chairman. I really got to get
Yes, Chairman Marie.
I really got to get my eyes looked at. It's bad, man.
Getting old, bro. We're all getting old.
Holy fuck. Yeah, well, I got fucking teeth falling out of my face. My fucking eyes are going. I look like the goddamn fucking Tin Man every time I get out of the fucking pizza truck. It's not good.
Hey, what are you getting, like skin cancer on it or something?
What?
On the pizza truck?
No, my knees hurt all the time. Oh,
okay.
I did not mean to remove Double T. I meant to switch things around. Whenever HK decides to join in, he's now got a spot for himself.
Okay. Okay. He's back, though, in full effect.
I mean, he's in the queue.
I see him.
Yeah, so he'll be popping in a second.
All right. We'll be $7.99 tonight. That's exciting. $800 next week.
Ask Wizards anything. Yeah, get your questions in, people.
Damn right.
I'll tell you, if he doesn't show up in the chat, I'm sure I'll have a great story. But Jersey Cow Jesse, he went to fucking midget wrestling yesterday.
Oh, that's awesome.
That fucking the baseball stadium up here where the minors play. So I got a couple pictures. I wish I could have spent my Father's Day at a fucking midget wrestling show.
The baseball stadium where the minors play, was this a Buck get together type of a thing that Jersey Cow Jesse was doing?
No. Maybe they weren't midgets. Maybe they were just kids.
Yeah. No. They were midgets. He bought a t-shirt. Check this out. T-shirt.
What size was it?
Was it half off?
It just says, fuck these midgets.
Huh.
Right. Ooh, is that a command?
Again, we should be worried if they were the miners. Boy, huh?
No, not like children, like miners, like they're going to get gold. They're mining for gold.
Is that what he calls it?
Did I say miners?
Well, you said miners. It doesn't matter which miners it is. It's pronounced the same.
Oh, I think it matters.
Oh, it matters. Yeah, it matters meaning-wise, but not phonetically. Yeah.
Tell that to the judge.
I mean, we don't say minors. We say minors, you know?
Right, minors.
Yeah. English language is stupid.
Minors, that's when you shit on the minors, right?
Whoa, I wouldn't know. Double T?
I've never shit on a child.
No, but, I mean, you're close to Jersey Cow Jesse.
Steve, can you hear us?
Steve.
Steve, can you hear us?
Steve.
Sorry, somebody's trying to sell something. They're at my front door. I just got it on my camera.
Tell them to fuck off.
Not buy it.
Yeah,
you still have door-to-door salesman out there?
7 o'clock on a fucking Monday night. Go away.
Is he selling rock salt?
Can only be so lucky. I want to make sure he doesn't go to the sun porch because the cats are out there.
Good. I hope the cats fucking eat him alive. Anyway, so Bully Ray, Tommy Dreamer, Sammy Callahan's out of a job too, isn't he?
Dude, Sammy Callahan looks like he ate a whole other person.
Yeah, he was getting big last time I remember seeing him.
Yeah. I mean, when he started, he was a big freaking dude, and he lost the credit to him. He lost a ton of weight, and I guess now that he doesn't have to wrestle anymore, who gives a shit?
Yeah, like 10, 15 years ago when he was still wrestling with like PWS and WrestlePro, like he was like in great shape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I guess he got like Road Dog now. Not a good comparison?
No, definitely a good comparison.
I saw the clip of Sammy Callahan talking about how he got let go from TNA, and I was like, wait, who the fuck is this? And I had to look into the comments. Nothing like him.
He just got big,
I guess.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you put clown makeup on him, he looks like Violent J.
Is he that bad? I haven't seen the recent picture of him. Is he? He's Violent J big.
Same as Joe. Get it right.
Oh, sorry. He's Joe.
That is quite a dumpster fire over at TNA, though. Huh?
Oh my God, is it ever? And it just keeps burning.
They're fucking with it to drop the value. So when WWE swoops in and buys it, it's going to be worth pennies of what it's currently worth, and they're going to get it in a fire sale. That's what's going to happen. They're picking the bones. There's already talk that Mike Santana's on their radar.
Yeah.
And Leon Slater, right?
Yeah.
Slater Gator. There you go.
I don't know. It doesn't – there's a pay-per-view this weekend. I don't know if you guys are aware of the TNA pay-per-view.
I'm aware because I do the notes.
I'm aware because we're not picking it.
Hell yeah. I'm actually sad that we can't watch it at your house again, Double T.
Well, we could watch it. Well, we can't even watch it at HK's house anymore.
Yeah.
See what happened? I canceled my subscription, and now it's fucking gone to hell.
I broke JC. Sammy Callahan, Violent J comparison has me dying. But yeah, Sammy Callahan truly throws better punches than Violent J. Although Violent J's punches are pretty good, I gotta say, but they're not Sammy Callahan punches.
Tony, if we're going to talk about Violent J, you have to refer to him as Joe.
As Joe? I can't. Joe,
please. Please. And please, can we have the ring rap music ready and willing to go at any moment?
Oh, yeah. I could play it. I could play it through the whole show.
I've not watched JCW. Wait, I got it. We got to finish.
Yes, please. Yeah, let's finish the TNA dumpster fire.
Arbitrary. Yes. I don't know. I don't. Like Santana looks like he's like maybe probably going to NXT, WWE. Leon Slater probably going there. Like, I don't know, man. Like the Righteous, like I love them.
They just fucking lose all the time.
It's like
ever since AEW. They came in, all they do is fucking lose. It's the worst.
And they're losing fucking 2-on-1 matches to MJF.
Yeah.
I don't even know who Ricky Sosa is, but he has a match with Eric Young.
He's some guy from England that's supposed to be pretty good. So that means he'll be there for 6 months to a year and then be at another company after that.
Do you guys have AMC? Have you attempted to watch any of Impact?
I watched the first episode and then a little bit of the second and realized why I don't watch Impact anymore because it was just god awful.
Oh, that's not fair. Come on. I'm sure there's some redeeming values.
I mean, probably like Bear Bronson's pretty great. Mustafa Ali's pretty great.
See?
But I can't sit through two hours of Impact to watch 10 minutes of those two guys and that's it. There's way more bad than good on Impact.
You see Mr. Elegance and Mrs. Elegance?
Fucking. He's a reason I turn it off.
Who's Mr. Elegance? Do I know who he is? Is he somebody else that just became Mr. Elegance?
No, I think he was like an OVW guy or something like that. And he was brought in to be with the Elegance brand. And he's one of those guys that looks like you just want to beat the shit out of him.
No, he looks pretty elegant to me. Got a nice, like elegant, Mr. nice elegant forehead.
Sir.
Nice elegant teeth. He's elegant. He looks like he's exuding elegance to me.
Tony, what would it take to get meh TNA back?
Oh, I don't know. I think TNA is doing an excellent job. I wouldn't bring meh TNA back.
Yeah, but you, I mean, come on. If you've been listening to this podcast for a long time, meh TNA was peak Wizards.
Yeah, I mean, it was good, but, you know, I think I've changed. I think I like a lot more wrestling than I used to hate, you know? Like,
really?
Yeah, I think I'm turning the page a little bit.
I like that.
Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah, you know what? I like wrestling, right?
Crack HK up every time.
I don't think HK thinks I'm genuine. I think that's the problem.
Whoa, come on now, Tony. Have I ever thought that you were anything less than genuine?
You know what? Fair point, sir. Fair point.
Thank you.
So TNA is going to disappear finally after 25 years of everybody saying it's going away?
No, they're a cockroach in the wrestling industry. They're going to stick around.
Did you say they're a cockbridge of the wrestling industry?
Cockroach. Cockbridge works as well, too.
Yeah, but you kind of cut out. I heard cock and then ridge or something at the end there.
I'll write down cockbridge so we hear it later.
Love me some cockbridge.
Can we see it later? That's the real
cockbridge.
Cockbridge?
Yeah. Why? What did you think was said?
Cockridge.
That works too. Brando, write that down as well.
I'm also not paying $40 for this paper. Like, I'm not paying.
What, dude, why not?
Well, I don't know if I'm going to be home.
It's a fucking bargain to me.
We've been indoors Sunday night. I would much rather watch. Actually, I'm not.
You can watch both.
I think Impact's during the day. And then NXT is at night at the same time as Forbidden Door.
Wait, so NXT's pay-per-view as well, or is that like a...
They're actually on the CW. I don't know if it's technically... I think it's not technically a pay-per-view.
But it's going to be like on a CW?
Big show on CW, what? Yeah.
All right. We got a lot of wrestling this weekend.
Yeah.
You said the Impact show was in the afternoon?
I think so. I thought they moved it when Forbidden Door was announced. I could be completely fucking wrong.
I don't know. It doesn't say it on the Wikipedia. Hold on. Let me go to what's the website? HKImpactPlus.com.
I don't ask me, man. You're gonna go there. You're gonna end up with a subscription you don't want. You're gonna be able to cancel it for 3 years.
They have a QR code.
ImpactPlus.com is not for TNA. It is for coaching and training for endless customers. That's,
oh, yeah.
Maybe TNA Plus? There we go. TNA Plus. Let's just see what they can tell me when this show is. Event schedule.
Already the fact that it took you this long to find it shows you how bad TNA is.
It is fucking 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday.
All right.
Horrible time.
That is so much wrestling on Sunday. That's ridiculous.
It is.
What's the I don't know, what's the NXT thing?
Hey, how many matches is AEW doing? Or do we like have an idea yet?
They're so far at 9.
Yeah.
Wait, what's the pay-per-view this weekend?
Forbidden Door.
We got a lot of CMLL guys coming in, a lot of New Japan guys coming in.
Yes. Everybody.
Oh, wow. They got 10 matches already set up, huh?
Yeah, and that main event is 6-on-6. Fuck. The steel cage match. So,
I don't know how I feel about this show.
It looks amazing on paper.
It does.
Yes, Monet versus Maya Angelou.
Yep, all
Moxley and Bandido.
All 17 pages of matches look incredible on paper.
Swerve and Ospreay, give me that.
Okay, I'm okay with Swerve and Ospreay. Even Omega and Zack Sabre Jr. I'm okay with. Although I didn't particularly care for Omega's promo on Wednesday when he was like, "Nobody knows who you are." Well, then why should I give a shit if Kenny Omega's going to come out here and tell me nobody gives a shit who you are? But buy the pay-per-view and watch me wrestle this nobody.
Yeah, that's fair. It's always been said, like in promos, you should be talking the guy up, not saying like how old he is or how nobody gives a shit about he is, because then you just beat nobody.
Bro, we're getting the Young Bucks, Mystico, and Takagi all in the same match. Bro, this show's gonna
Teton be too. Teton's fucking great.
Fuck yeah,
love Teton.
Bro, this card looks pretty fucking stacked to me.
I'm interested in Thekla and Starlight Kid.
I mean, yes. the dogs are gonna wind up fucking losing anyway. But
yeah, you always need a team to lose first.
Yeah, but I don't want them to lose. I want them to be winners.
Yeah,
I want everybody to win and have a good time.
All they've done is lose since they fucking came in.
I know, it's been disappointing. Although I think you guys weren't on the Maya Angelou bandwagon last week, and what'd I tell you?
I'm in on her.
See, there you go.
I wish, but yeah, I think it's a good story, but I think also like Willow getting hurt, like just threw a huge monkey wrench, and they had to just rebook everything on the fly.
That's fine.
And Sari getting hurt. So.
Yeah, but now like okay, like my. Concern now, like I thought the match on Saturday night with her and Athena was great.
Yeah,
right. She's at this point, if she doesn't win the tournament, like what do you do with her, right? Because no offense to Maya World Thekla at All In, it does not sell tickets.
Yeah,
right. The money is in Mercedes Moné.
That's why her name is Moné.
Right. But now, like, this underdog story is fantastic. Like, if she doesn't beat Mercedes Moné, what do you do with her? Right? Because can she still qualify for the TBS Survival of the Fittest? Does she go to Ring of Honor and challenge Athena? Like,
I think she could go to Ring of Honor and challenge Athena, especially now that she's got the win against her under her belt. But if she goes, you know, 20 minutes, has a fantastic match, almost pulls it off against Mercedes Moné. I don't think it hurts her completely.
No, but then you have to, it's just like in any wrestling promotion, right? Like you have to capitalize on the people being invested in her and being behind her. Like, so if you have her get this far, what do you do if she loses? Like, what's next for her? Does she just go into a fucking random tag team? Does she go to Ring of Honor Hell? Does she become a contender for the TBS title? Like, where does she end up?
Right? She wasn't a tag team when she came in, too. I forgot who the high was end or something like that.
That they took that the place in calls that didn't want to work?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm here for it, but you know, just don't want her to get fucking lost in the shuffle like when they did. What's his nuts beat fucking Jericho? Who's that kid?
Action Andretti. Yeah.
There you go. What's he doing now?
He's on Ring of
Everything
Honor.
He wants to. The world is his oyster.
He wants to.
He beat Chris Jericho. How many people can say that?
A lot.
Yeah, but he was like the last one.
No.
Ricochet beat him.
Oh, yeah. Did he?
Yeah. Ciampa hopefully will beat him.
I'm going to kind of give my pick away for the main event or the semi-main event. I think Swerve pays the Hurt Business to take out the Death Riders and Ospreay, and Swerve wins.
That's possible.
Right. I love the idea that, like, Billy Goat's going to get his championship match at Forbidden Door in his home country and get his revenge on MJF. But
wait, Billy Goat?
Yeah, Willie Ospreay. Yeah.
Is that what they're going with?
He's been called that for a couple of years, I think. A
couple of years?
Yeah.
Does he have a Billy Goat t-shirt?
I bet he does.
I hope he does. That sounds like money to me.
And we still have some dissension with the Don Callis family and Andrade, and are they going to get along? And MJF doesn't like Kevin Knight, and Andrade doesn't like MJF, and... So it'll be interesting.
When you have like 19 people in a stable, there's no doubt going to be dissension all the time.
There's a lot to unpack. Shota Umino and Pac. It's a thing. Apparently Gabe Kidd showed up in New Japan and jumped Shota on behalf of the Death Rider. So that should be fun.
I like that.
I don't know, like Bandito won in the tag match and he was like overly excited on Dynamite. Like, I don't know. It was I don't know.
He was pumped.
Yeah, I get it. But I don't know.
I heard Brodildo came back, no?
Yeah.
They did?
Fuck yeah.
I think they got a six-man on Wednesday also.
Who's teaming with them?
Let me see if I can find it. They're fighting the Death Riders.
Of course they are. It's a money match.
Yeah, it's Moxley, Wheeler Yuta, Claudio against Mystico and Brodildo.
Ooh. Mr. Brodildo?
Mr. Dildo?
No, you got to get the bro in there.
Bro, Miss Dil?
Brodildoco. That's it. Right
there on. It is.
Brodildoco. Brodildoco. Brodildoco.
Now that sounds like someplace you go after a graduation for a 2-pound prime rib.
No, Brodildoco is like a fucking Brazilian restaurant. Like a churrasco. Brodildoco churrascaria. Yeah.
They bring it to the table on like a fucking sword.
Fuck
or Brodildoco for you?
Oh my God. Could you imagine carving a Brodildoco onto your plate?
I could go for some Rodizio.
Never. Dizio's tasty.
Yes.
Dizio's good times.
It's been a long time.
Fuck yeah, it has.
Yeah. We had a good one over here for a long time, and then it just eventually went out of business.
Did you ever come up here to Solar in Belleville, Solar Domino?
No, I never did.
We should have a Wizards night out, like a dinner
night. Yes, we should.
I'm in for that.
Even throw the invite to like Jersey Cow Jesse, you know.
Yeah.
Some of the local regulars, you know.
Aunt Money.
Aunt Money's birthday today.
Yeah, happy birthday, Aunt Money.
I like the meat sweats.
Oh, yeah. I ate that 2-pound El Cid prime rib once in one sitting. The next morning, I was on the treadmill, and it looked like I came out of the shower.
Ugh. I don't know how your wife puts up with you, bro.
She was so afraid that night. She's like, I think I want to sleep upstairs.
I hope she did.
No, she didn't. That was fine.
Good Lord.
I've done it twice, and then I'll never do it again.
Twice you've eaten a 2-pound prime rib.
Twice. Yeah. I'll send you guys the pictures. I have the picture of the before and after.
Your insides must fucking hate you so much.
The old 96er? You have to eat the gristle.
It looked like it. No, I didn't go. I'll eat the fat, not the gristle.
Write that down. I'll eat the fat, not the gristle.
Hey, I'm going to change gears really fast because I've been watching a lot of 1984 WWF, Brundo. So the Freebirds, the fucking 1984 WWF is the weirdest shit ever.
Yes, completely.
Right? The war to, what was first? The war to settle the score?
Yeah, yeah, that was first. That was on MTV.
That was first. Inoki's on that card. He wins a fucking battle royal at Madison Square Garden. Throughout the summer, Mil Mascaris is in six-man tag action. Where he's... But you were him that did that.
I haven't touched anything. That was him.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the fucking Freebirds show up.
Yeah, they were there for what? Like half a... Like, what? A month, maybe?
Not long, right? Because
yeah, Andre kicks him out.
Right. So here's the thing, right? Everybody swears like Andre is like a great guy, but he sounds like a shithead. He sounds like an asshole.
Well, it sounded like he had a good reason to throw them out. Also, like they pissed him off. They pissed off a lot of the boys. They were dicks to them. They made people late for their flights and shit or something along that line. So Andre was like, yeah, that's not going to fucking fly here. He was kind of like what The Undertaker eventually came into. He's the locker room leader or whatnot, or the general.
Yeah, but like he didn't like Big John Studd because he was bigger than him, and he like threatened his position. He was like he thought he could get away with saying the N-word to Bad News Brown until Bad News Brown started for him. Like, I don't know. I think in hindsight, like Andre was doesn't seem like a great guy.
Yeah, he sat on the Iron Sheik a lot.
Yeah, he pulled fucking Macho Man by his fucking hair.
Yeah, Jake too. Jakey would stand on his hair and try and pull up his arms.
Yeah. That doesn't sound... You're muted, Tony.
Maybe those guys didn't show the proper respect to Andre.
Some of them, maybe.
You know, because I always heard the argument with Studd was that he didn't like that Studd would step over the top rope. Like, that was his gimmick. You know, Studd used to do the same shit. Not You know, it's a little easier for Andre because I think he had like 150 pounds on Big John Studd. So he could just like, you know, squash the rope, whereas Studd would kind of tiptoe over the rope, you know?
A big guy. Like, and I'm watching 84, right? And Kamala's wrestling like a jobber. And Andre comes out and just starts being a problem. And then on commentary, they're like, making Kamala to be out the bad guy. Kamala didn't ask Andre to come out here and fuck with him. Kamala's doing his own thing. Andre was a dick.
I thought Kamala hurt Andre at some point. They definitely had a feud at some point.
Oh, they did. Yeah. Not on championship wrestling. Kamala was just minding his fucking business with fucking Friday.
Who broke Andre's leg? That
Killer Khan.
That was Killer Khan. I was going to say it was either Killer Khan or the Missing Link. But yeah, it was Killer Khan.
He's due in the WWF and a little bit too. 84, 85, he comes in to challenge fucking the Hulkster dude.
Of course he does. King Corn.
Ah, yes. Yes, pro wrestling. Yeah, so that was my little fucking 1984 tangent. So yeah, AEW pay-per-view Sunday. We'll get the gimmick. We'll probably watch. Who knows? We got, what, Night of Champions on Saturday?
Yeah, during the day.
Here's so the final for the men is Oba and Jey Uso, which we talked about it last week, and I think that's what we thought it was going to be. I watched the end of Raw last week, right? Oba beats Dom. Dom tried to cheat. He put the fucking bell in his fucking boot. Like, it was great. Oba kicked out. He fucking wins. And then Oba cuts this promo. And I feel like they're just telegraphing like that Brock is going to cost him the King of the Ring. Because Oba's like, I am the ruler. I am the king. I will become the king. I'm surprised you weren't here tonight. You know, so it's like, well, why? Why do we have to do that?
Maybe to get you thinking that he's going to interfere and then he doesn't. Maybe they want people to think that Jey has a chance to win.
Well, because they're doing it on SmackDown. They got the, you know, Jay's already calling his shot against Cody.
Yeah, but that's what they're supposed to do. Like, you know, like Jay believes he's going to win.
Yeah, of course. But Cody's telling him don't look past Oba. Sammy's telling Jay say hi to the family. I still can't believe this bloodline thing is fucking going on. But there's a lot of, like, as I like to say, spoons in the porridge here. And I don't know. I feel like they really fucking showed their hand with the promo that Oba cut on Monday night saying that, you know, Brock's probably going to cost him the fucking match.
Yeah, I have zero interest in another Jey Uso, like, SummerSlam title match. Just absolute zero interest. Does nothing for me.
No, I'm all about it, dude. I love Jey. I love Oba. I think this is a great main event for the King of the Ring. I don't know who to pick at this point. I think it's a toss-up.
You don't know who to pick?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I guess I'll have to decide soon, but I don't know sitting here tonight.
Who do you? Yeah, true Prince of Pro. Part of me thinks Oba wins the King of the Ring and beats Brock on night one of SummerSlam, beats Roman on night two to really put Oba over strong. I mean, HK talked about that last week. Like, you are strapping a fucking rocket to him if you're going to have Oba Femi beat Brock and Roman Reigns in a weekend.
What's the downside? Yeah, that might be too much.
As I say, but what's the downside there? Like, you say it's too much, but obviously they're going to move forward with Oba. They see what he is. They, you know, we see what he is. So doing something like that, knowing Brock is done, you know, Roman, he's who knows how much longer Roman has. You know, I mean, he could become an attraction guy. That's pretty easy. So, like, what's the downside of doing that for, like, Oba?
Nothing.
He's kind of an attraction guy already. But
right.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would rush it. I would let it play out. Like, what's the big hurry to put this right on Oba right away, you know?
I mean, it worked with Brock when they did with Brock. He debuts the night after Mania, and by SummerSlam, he's World Heavyweight Champion. Rolled through everybody. He was King of the Ring also, I believe?
Yes, he was.
Yeah. So why the hell not? It worked once. Why not do it again?
Yeah,
I mean, Brock, that was also a time when championships were changing hands pretty frequently, right? Like, I mean, I get it. Like, Cody's kind of lost and won it back right away, which I'm not really a fan of, but I don't know. I don't know, man. I'd let it simmer. I'd let it play out. I don't think there's a rush. It's just me. Maybe Survivor Series, he wins the title.
Maybe Roman wants to go do more movies or something like that. They know that's in the holster.
Do you think you run the risk with Oba, like you say, like not rushing into it? I don't know if they're necessarily rushing into it if they do something giant with him now, but like, do you think you run the risk of like him cooling off? I mean, it clearly happened to LA Knight. Everybody said, you got to strike now. And then they missed that spot. So like, I understand the idea of not wanting to rush it, but at the same time, like, you do run that risk of all of a sudden people are going, okay, well, then if it's not him, then what's next? We're going to move somewhere else. I'm cooling off. So, like, do you chance that? Do you chance him cooling off?
Well, I guess the retort to that is if you rush and you put the belt on him, then what's next? You've already eliminated two monsters. You've eliminated Brock. You eliminated Roman. Mm-hmm. Where do you go from there? Jey Uso, you're going to run that? You're going to run Gunther?
Yeah, that's fair, too.
You know, Gunther's having a hard time with Cody right now.
Mm-hmm.
You got Philip. Philip is still floating around there.
Yeah.
You got the CrossFit Jesus. You know, eventually that feud with Braun is going to be over.
Yeah, Braun Breaker. Bronson Reed is on his way back eventually.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe Bronson Reed's a potential.
Yeah, yes. Him and Bronson Reed would be a real fun mean guy match.
Even Jake Paul. Or Logan Paul, whichever Paul's in there.
Logan.
No Logan, Paul. Yeah.
No Paul.
Yeah, I want Paul.
Give me Logan Paul, Oba, make it 4.5 minutes and I'm good.
Nah, you got to give him like 6 because Austin Theory's going to interfere.
What if, I watched AAA too this week. What about Oba Femi Omos?
Yes. Love it.
Right, mate? Not after SummerSlam, but you know, like somewhere in like 2027 when Omos is done whatever in AAA.
But isn't Omos kind of a big deal in AAA? Do you want to like really spoil that?
I mean, not now, but I mean, down the line, like we're thinking the future here, right? All these, like Seth is not, we've gone over how old everybody is, right? Yeah. They're not young chickens. So at some point, we got to get some young blood in there.
Yeah, I kind of take that to heart myself. Thanks, Double T.
Oh, buddy, come on now. You're.
I look at Brundo. Life. I look at HK. I see what you're doing. You're putting the old man out the pasture.
Never. Never. We couldn't do this without you.
You could. The production just wouldn't be as good.
No, we don't want to do it without you, Tony. You're a very important part of this podcast. We don't get to 800 without you.
If you mean 500, if you listened last week. that I said numerous times. I kept not correcting myself.
You know, it's like the homework. Mankind. We'll get to that.
Man Mondo.
Holy shit, F and Ronnie's in the chat. That's a blast from the past.
F and Ronnie. There's no Raw tonight. They were in fucking London again.
So it was on this afternoon?
It was. We have new tag team champions.
Yeah, I saw that in the notes.
And fucking Lyra smashed fucking Bailey's face. Jeez Louise.
Bro, that reminded me of the time when fucking this fucking guy.
Enzo?
Yes, when he was getting shit canned and he fucking knocked himself out under the bottom rope. I really thought Bailey fucking died. I thought Bailey was murdered on TV.
That was a fucking wild spot.
Yeah, it was. But she seemed okay because she walked into the fucking finisher like a couple seconds later.
Yeah, and there was something backstage where they asked her, like, how do you feel about it? She was like, I have nothing to say. So I guess we were, that's kind of been something that's been simmering for a while with Bailey, where she was like, you know, she did the like voices in her head thing and Lyra didn't know what the fuck was going on. And then they did the old swerve, bro. And Lyra's the one that turns, not Bailey. So I guess we'll see where that goes.
It's awesome. It's like Vince Russo's booking all of wrestling now.
Bro.
We
got six matches too at Night of Champions. They added.
Fuck yeah. They've been listening to you, HK. Yeah.
Love it. Love it.
Look. I'm here for it. I love SmackDown was a very good show on Friday night, I thought. And I thought that Ricky Saints Carmelo Hayes match was fantastic. Definitely check that out. Because Ricky, what? Why is everybody? Nobody? Nothing? Nobody watched SmackDown?
I never catch SmackDown.
I watched the tag team match.
Oh, which one?
The title match where Solo fucked it up for his boys.
Again, I just don't give a shit about the bloodline. I'm sorry.
That's not cool. Come on.
How long are we going to have dissension between Solo and the Gorillas of Destiny?
A long time.
Yeah, that one they could drag on. They let that just
go on forever.
It's okay. The minute you stop having something going on with them, they're all cut. So you might as well have something to do.
Good point.
Right?
Cut them all.
Remember they didn't know what to do with Magnificent Morocco and Cowboy Bob Orton. They had them just not getting along for months on end. And then Don Morocco discovered steroids and became The Rock.
Don Morocco is a great fucking promo in 1984.
Oh, he's a great promo anytime. Don Morocco fucking rules. I would love to talk to him.
Didn't he have a podcast?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he did.
Or does he still have one?
I don't think so. I tell you what, we could reach out to Metal Maniac. Maybe Metal Maniac gets us Don Morocco.
But that might entail like us having to talk to the Metal Maniac again.
I have no qualms about talking with the Metal Maniac.
It sounded like he was in a submarine, man.
It's okay. Have you heard like 90% of our recent guests? And their audio issues.
I thought we were going in a no guest strike.
I understand, but if Brundo says, "Hey, Don Morocco next week," and fucking Marco, whatever the fuck his name is, isn't throwing $400 on a fucking price tag on it, then I think we're good.
Sabato.
Derek.
Yeah.
Fucking. They call him Mondo.
Do you think The Rock Don Morocco can figure out StreamYard?
Fuck yeah, he can.
He had a podcast. He must
had
to do something.
I bet you he's a technical whiz. He probably has a whole fucking studio in his fucking house in Sunset Beach, Hawaii.
He has to have. He's like the Macho Man of Tobin. Somebody else has to help him.
No, he's probably got a satellite fucking dish in his yard from the 80s that he jerry-rigged so he can broadcast right from his home.
It looks like the front of like a fucking one of those like places that they would do cable in the '80s.
Oh my god, it's like KBBL on the fucking Simpsons.
It's like the thing that fucking Jim Carrey dies on in the cable guy.
The only thing he gets is just fucking Fuji Vice reruns. Every once in a while, they sprinkle in a fucking Billy Graham as his fucking manager at WrestleMania 4. Like, we needed that.
You know what? I would completely reach out to him and say, hey, Mr. Morocco, we found a program that you starred in the 80s called Fuji Vice, and we would love to have you on the show to talk about your experiences on camera, what it was like to do a successful show like that. Just play it off like we don't even know he's a wrestler. Just that he's a fucking TV star from the 80s. That would be the angle to play.
I don't trust those 80s guys. That Ken Patera really left a fucking sour taste in my mouth.
You should have told him to stop.
If he showed up, I would have.
He didn't give you the pat.
Oh, the Patterson?
Yeah.
That motherfucker. He was going to come on for your birthday show, Tony, and he never showed up.
Yeah. I'm saying come.
He was going, would he arrive?
He's going to join us for the show. He's going to join us for my birthday.
Oof.
Or for Kevin's birthday, somebody's birthday.
It was yours. He never showed up. He was chucking rocks through fucking McDonald's windows. And you think Mr. Saito regrets that fucking food run?
Well, did Mr. Saito serve any time?
Yeah, he definitely did.
No, they didn't fucking have a vignette about him getting out of prison.
Well, they didn't bring him back.
Yeah, very dishonorable, Mr. Saito.
I found Don Morocco on Instagram. He updated it maybe a month and a half ago. He does look great.
His thirst pictures on fucking
Instagram. Doesn't look great. Who looks better, Don Morocco or Sammy Callahan?
Don Morocco.
What is his handle on Instagram? Is it?
I followed him on the Wizards Instagram.
It's Don the Rock Morocco.
Yeah,
not the magnificent one.
Nope.
Oh, man,
he don't look so bad. What are you talking about?
I don't know that first picture.
Oh, this is like from fucking 3 years ago too.
Oh, is it May 3rd?
No. Wait, May 30th? No, the most recent picture seems to be the one of him in a tie dye shirt from like the '90s or the '80s.
Oh, that's the pinned one. Yeah, no, the one after that with the. I think he's like a football player or something.
Who's Dizon Stribling? Oh, he's going to the 49ers. There you go. He played for Ole Miss. Hey, Don Morocco looks okay. He's got to be like almost 80, no?
Yeah, that's true.
Brother. He's got a fucking caricature in the background. He's on a podium. It looks like Tony Atlas and Ricky Steamboat are on the podium with him.
Don Morocco, 76.
There you go.
See now what's this? Don the Rock Morocco. Oh yeah, look at now he doesn't look terrible.
No. Got some pictures with his grandson, kind of looks like him. Look at that. Good for him. Living his best life in Hawaii.
The shoulders are huge.
He's a giant man. He really is.
Yeah, I would like to talk to that man.
Fuck yeah, who wouldn't? He does the old school fucking like 60s, 70s Irish whip where he just grabs the guy with both hands by the wrist rather than feeding him from the back. That's some old school shit right there.
That's awesome. With how big he is too, it probably looks like he's pulling the guy's shoulder out of his pocket. Yep.
Give me the old yank. Right, HK?
You got it.
Moving on. What's next?
HK, you're 3 o'clock is bad for TNA, but what is 1 o'clock is good for WWE on Saturday? That's 1 o'clock, right?
11 would be great. Yeah, I'd like 11.
11 a.m.?
Yeah, 11 a.m. would be sweet. I'll take a 9 a.m. pay-per-view.
No, I'm not
watching Japan, bro.
It's breakfast. Not like you're going to sleep at 3:30 in the afternoon.
That's no, true. Because sometimes he is.
What if he could? 100%.
Yeah, I can. I mean, who's going to stop me?
Yeah.
True.
Must be calling an airstrike.
Yeah. Well, oops-a-doops.
She's not feeling great, Tony.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's funny you guys are saying like all the wrestling on. I was trying to figure out like I have no way to watch NXT anymore. Got rid of it.
You don't have CW?
Nope. Nope. I don't have AMC anymore, so there's no way to watch TNA.
Okay.
Not that I was going on my way to look for it anyways. I wasn't looking for NXT. I haven't watched NXT in a long time. And I was like, man, and I didn't watch AEW again this week because, you know, I'm a JCW MLW guy now. So fuck this weekend, man. I give a shit.
I don't know. NXT might have a couple of good things on there. You got Tavion Heights and Miles Bourne. I really like that matchup.
Yeah. I like Dempsey, but that's about as far as it goes.
He's like never on.
Dempsey and Lexus King, I like. Yeah. Ugh.
Tony, they're running the speed tournament again.
Fuck yeah, I love a tournament.
Two tournaments, men's and women's.
So they stripped the champions, or is this like a contender?
Contender.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yes. We didn't talk about AEW. We got the Owen Hart's coming up. We got the TBS Eliminator thing going on.
I mean, we kind of talked about it. Well, yeah. Our finals are Maya Angelou and...
We got the King and the Queen finals, too.
Yeah, EO and fucking Liv.
Yeah.
Roxanne's going to turn on her.
I hope so.
Did Liv come out of that injury scare all right?
Yeah, she was on Raw today, I think.
Okay.
Apparently Sol Ruka fucking blacked out her Twitter because people were going after her.
Yeah,
that's fine.
That fucking Soul Snatcher finishing move. I mean, I like Sol Ruka, don't get me wrong, but it's very like miss or miss, you know? It's a weird setup. It's a really tough setup and a really bad execution, like unless it's like perfect.
Yeah, and you rely a lot on your opponent for it. You know what I mean? And the timing. Yeah,
and your momentum is going the opposite way.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. I don't like it as a move, period. But that wasn't even like she went off the second. It looked like she'd come backwards for a splash, and she ended up rolling up on Liv's leg. And it looked like it might have been an ACL situation at first. So having her, you know, if she's on Raw, she's all right. That's good. But
I tell you what, I like a good Stone Cold Stunner. Mm-hmm. I like an RKO. I like a diamond cutter. The cutter cannot, it's got to stop being the next DDT. It's got to stop. It's just got to stop. I don't even want Cody to do it anymore.
The Cody cutter? Let me ask you this. Watch, because I'm watching a lot of 84 WWF Championship Wrestling. You think Hogan would still be alive if he did the axe bomber instead of the leg drop?
Would he still be alive?
Yeah. Because the fucking leg drop fucked up his hips and all his back and shit. If he just kept the axe bomber as his finisher, his body would still have wear and tear on it, but he wouldn't be dropping a leg three times a day for fucking 5 years.
He probably, and maybe he didn't do it because Bruno was known for it, but maybe the backbreaker should have been his finisher. Maybe he should have stood with it. I don't know. But the Axe Bomber is that kind of move where it's like a stunner, where it's like a leg drop. You hit it, you got the win. You know?
And you can do it to anybody. Like the backbreaker, as strong as Hogan is, maybe he doesn't get Kamala up in it.
Not torture rack style. I'm just talking like old school bear hug wrapped around.
I thought you meant like on the shoulder backbreaker.
But that was more Hogan as a heel using the back.
Yeah. Hogan, you know? Yeah, you do it to like three guys.
Yep. Love doing it to three guys. It's amazing.
Write it down. you know what though, HK, we do have to run the risk now. Like their WWE is starting to run more house shows, so like the probability of injury is gonna go up, you know.
No, I think the more house shows, the probability of injury will go down.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. You stay in wrestling shape.
Stay in that ring shape, baby.
Yep. These guys and girls haven't been doing it now. So the first couple months, I'm sure you're going to have to knock off the ring rust, right? You go from wrestling once a week to three times a week.
You know, it's interesting, too, because NXT has been running house shows like throughout the entire time. You know what I mean? They have their one weekly, but they've been running house shows the entire time. And it's strange that you get to the main roster and –
you're expected to work less.
Yeah, you know what I mean, like it's kind of a weird thing. So I'm happy that they're bringing back house shows. I think there's a nice balance there. I like going to a house show. I think a house show is a fun show to attend. So a lot of ways, I think I almost prefer a house show over like going to a SmackDown or a Raw or you know any of those yeah. things. So I'm for it and. The ring rust, the knocking off, the ring shape, all that kind of stuff, I think is going to be a plus. And, I mean, I don't know how often. I know like rings are up and ready to rock and roll. I think it's like 11 or 12 on show days. So they get there and they can run through, they can work out, they can do whatever they need to do in rings. So they got them wherever they need them. So. Yeah, I don't know. I'm totally fine with it. I think they need to.
Yeah,
like, you would think like if you're Raw, SmackDown, whatever you know show you're on, you would probably want to work your one show and then probably two other house shows, right? A week would be probably proper.
Yeah, I think it's easy to be able to go down to the PC and roll around in a ring, but I think you need to get used to working in front of a crowd and maybe. Working off of the way the crowd is reacting to you, you know,
I don't know that it's going to be as beneficial as we think it would be because like, everything's so sanitized, whether it be, you know, whatever major company it is, everything is completely sanitized. This is the way they want to see it. This is the way they want to present it. All those type of things where as before you would get guys would work through shit on the indies would, you know what I mean? Like really hone in their craft and then be introduced to them and say, okay, well, you know, here's your finish, you know, there, you guys could be able to at least paint a little bit. And it doesn't, I don't think that there's any painting a little bit going on in the big times now. So I don't know that it's going to help them. I think it'll help them with reaction for sure, because when shit goes sideways, you see it all the time. Something goes sideways and it doesn't seem like the performers know exactly how to react or how to get out of things going sideways. So
yeah, the deer in headlights.
Yeah, that could certainly help, but everything is just, I mean, it's completely sanitized now. And I think that's part of the reason why I'm digging like, you know, MLW so much and JCW, because it doesn't have that feel to it.
No, you're right. And it's a social media world too. Like everyone's got, like, nobody knows about this Saul Ruka Liv Morgan injury if it was 20 years ago, right? Because it wasn't, everyone didn't have a fucking cell phone out, right? So you're right, HK. You're absolutely right about it being sanitized, and maybe it doesn't really matter if they work in front of a crowd or not. But I did watch MLW this week on your recommendation.
Talk to me, stud.
It was different. There were things I liked. I think Shotzi Blackheart's hysterical, and I very much enjoyed her monster hunt.
Yeah. <All right.
laughs> I fucking love Dijak and Baron Corbin as the fucking skyscrapers. I think that's a great tag team. You look at that and you're like, how come nobody in the WWE can see, like, just put these two fucking massive dudes together and let them be a fucking cool tag team?
Yeah.
Yep. The CMLL guys was a little bit much for me. Especially that Mystico match. I feel like that went on for fucking ever.
Mystico and was it Templar?
The dude with the sword. Yeah, the guy with the sword.
Templario,
there it is.
Yeah.
Also, Austin Aries looks old as shit.
Yeah, he does. He's falling apart. Yeah, he almost looks as old as Blue Panther.
At least Blue Panther is like 70 years old.
And look, I know you don't like the guy, but I'm in on this Matt Riddle, Hammerstone, Killer Cross thing they got going on.
Because of Hammerstone and Cross, not because of Riddle.
I don't know. I liked fucking Matt Riddle being like a pompous jerk off to Cross when Cross is like, bro, don't fuck around with him. Like, he's going to fucking squash you like a grape. And Riddle's like, nah, bro, I can handle myself. I got this, dude. Hey. And he fucking threw his fucking flip flops off after he fucking got into the pull apart with fucking Hammerstone. I'm here for it.
I got this, dude.
I'm glad that you're enjoying it. It
was because the Blair Onyx chick. The Blair Onyx chick that wrestled Scarlett Border. I fucking loved her.
I've worked shows with Blair Onyx.
She was awesome. Even in defeat, she was fucking different. The way she got out of that fucking arm bar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's jointed.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I think I've worked two or three shows with Blaironics. I don't know if, you know, nothing more than like a how you doing or anything like that. But yeah, she seems nice enough, and she's always been entertaining every time I've seen her. So yeah, she's a Midwest gal. Yeah,
I was a little surprised with 2 hours.
It was a special. It was a special episode.
All right.
Yeah, it was a special 2 hour gimmick. I forget what was. I forget what the name of it was. It was whatever.
The 200th episode was the second hour.
Yeah. Yeah. 250.
250. Okay.
Yeah.
I couldn't fast forward it through it like I did with, there was not commercials like when I watched JCW.
Right. No, it's fun. I do. I like the presentation. I think that the commentary team, even though like Dombrowski is the same guy that does JCW, right, he just seems better in MLW for what it's worth. So yeah, no, I've been very much enjoying it.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it. I will watch again next week. I made time for it this week, and it's Dombrowski and what's
Matt,
his name?
Is it Matt Stryker?
No, Lawler, no,
the other guy,
Filthy Tom.
Oh, it was Filthy Tom? I thought it was Matt Reinhold or whatever the fuck his name is.
Oh, okay. From yeah, you might be right.
Vaudevillians.
Yeah,
I thought he only did TNA.
I thought he was done with TNA.
Oh, is he?
It was Filthy Tom has been doing it for a while.
Oh, was it? Because they called him Matt a couple times.
Okay.
Joe called him Matt.
All right. Maybe it was somebody else this week. It wasn't locked in the way I thought it was.
I could be wrong, too.
Well,
yeah. I'm out. The CMLL guy, I'm out. It was overload this week.
Yeah. Get a couple extra, then you know, they'll do what they need to do. It was fun, though. Like, it is just a little bit different. And like I say, it doesn't feel as sanitized. It really, like, and I'm not saying like from necessarily the wrestling standpoint or the, you know, the edginess or anything like that, but like, it reminds me of a 90s, like a later 90s type of a situation. You know what I mean? Like just presentation wise, where it feels like there's a little dirt to it. You know what I mean? Like it's a little grittier and I enjoy that.
I got a question, HK. You've been watching a couple more weeks long. What can you tell me about this Don Gato guy?
Oh man, with the tequila?
Yeah, but then like there's a fucking promo of him like petting a cat and then it pans out and everything's on fire around him. Felisa De La Renta and Cesar Duran are missing. They're gone.
Yeah, Cesar Duran and De La Renta have been gone. Court Bauer stepped in. Now Court Bauer's handling the day-to-day operations. I don't know a shitload about Don Gato. He was there in Battle Riot. He was actually in Battle Riot. He showed up with like a giant fucking Shotsky gimmick. And then he just kind of sits in the wings. So you don't ever really hear much from Don Gato. So, but he's always there. And they have
him and Mystico did a shot right after his match.
Yeah, and he's got I think he's that tequila's got to be a sponsor. I think that plays into it. Yeah.
Don Gato.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a nice palate cleanser after I watched JCW.
Yeah, I bet it was. You know what?
I didn't hate JCW.
Oh, good. Good.
But I didn't love JCW. I'm with you, HK, on Choppa City.
Yeah. Get some chop.
All in on the Ring Rat, screaming about Stephen Flo won't fuck her. I thought that was hysterical.
Don't give a damn about the Ring Rat.
I love the Ring Rat. I felt like a lot of championships changed hands on Thursday's episode.
Two title changes in JCW.
The ladies' championship again. They just potato it.
Yeah, and like that J-Rod's friend, like she's trying to knock her off the ladder and the kick like missed by a mile. It was not good.
Sophia Rose. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I missed why she turned on J-Rod. What happened there?
They don't. She turned on her. That's that was just it. What happens. Yeah.
It's Vince Russo booking.
Or bro.
Yeah.
That fucking jerk off. Could he? If you're going to be on commentary for the fucking main event, just be on fucking commentary, man. Why do you have to get up, get down, get involved? Why is cocaine taking his fucking shirt off? Why does it take forever for security to get in the ring to take cocaine out of the ring?
Right.
We're getting New Jack the rest of the episode.
Do you like Caleb Conley, the new champion? I like them putting the belt on Conley.
I'm good with that. I thought Cocaine had a great showing. I enjoyed the match. I can do without fucking Vince Russo, man. And I'm I think you said it last week, HK. I'm done with this fucking Big Vito bullshit.
Yeah.
It's so fucking stupid.
No, it's what not. I loved every fucking minute of it. I love it. I want Big Vito on my TV every day. Big Vito's selling fucking weed now, too. Did you see that commercial?
Yeah, I fast-forwarded through it. Hey, poor fucking Luigi Primo has been nothing but a good soldier, and this piece of shit cans him.
Yeah.
That's okay.
For what?
He's going to be Goomba, the next fucking Brother of Funstruction.
Oh, my God. Where the fuck is Ruffo? Yabo gives a shit.
My brother!
He had to beat up Joe. Joe said, do what you got to do. And fucking Two Tits Tony and fucking Willie Mack.
Two Tits Tony. Who's got a better punch, Joe or Tony?
Tony.
You think so?
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know, man. Joe's punch is pretty good.
What's the thing,
also,
too?
Oh, here we go.
We know. This fucking Big Vito, fucking Joe, Bruce, Violent J bullshit has been going on for weeks now. Why are Too Tough Tony and Willie Mack not always with him? Why are they letting him walk into a fucking 4-on-1 situation? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, they're smoking weed, bro.
You can smoke weed in the ring. It's JCW. Smoke
again,
weed
high,
in the ring.
Bro. Bro, Big Al giving Mark Davis some shit, too. Like, oh, you don't like it when I'm in the men's room. And the fucker is playing with his dick pissing, and then he just grabs the mic and turns around and starts talking to her.
That would have been hilarious. Like, I would have been like, balls off at that.
I would have been like, bro, wash your fucking hands. What are you, a fucking ghoul?
Watching fucking Joe walk out with the goddamn kendo stick like he's going to do something. Like, he moves in slow motion. He moves in slow motion. There's nothing that terrifies me about him.
Oh, man, no. I'm fucking scared of Violent Joe. Fuck yeah.
Oh, you are?
Fuck yeah, I am. I wouldn't fuck with him.
Well, I know, bro.
Violent Joe, yes. I bet you he could beat up John Moxley. We don't need fucking Bully Ray.
Now, Steve, Stephen Flo's still getting involved.
He's a dickhead, man. Like, he's going to get his comeuppance.
But when?
They're going to have a big match with Cocaine, and it's going to be the big blow-off. They might have the Juggalo in a cell.
The blow-off with
Cocaine. Yeah.
Yeah. See? Did that on purpose.
I was surprised he took his shirt off the Cocaine.
Why?
He's never taken his shirt off, has he?
Well, I mean, this was a serious moment. He had to defend against Caleb. And what's with the fucking Josh Handjob? Fucking now he's a champion too.
Yeah, I like that. Joe says he's gonna honor it.
So now there's two world champions.
Are we on a Josh Bishop versus is it Joel Gertner versus Vince Russo?
The mixed tag matches now. Oof, I'm ready for it.
No, Gertner's more of a Vinny Roo guy.
Nah, they're gonna go at it because Vinny Roo's backing Caleb.
I don't know. As long as they have a mixed tag match and Gertner paints himself like fucking Kamala again, all for it.
Yeah, Joe Gertner has been bulking up, man. He's ready for a match.
Also, like, I know Too Tough Tony was a guest on the show, and I'm sure Willie Mack is a fantastic guy, but, like, I'd rather see Choppa City and the fucking Backseat Boys wrestle for the tag titles. I know this was a number one contenders match, but Willie Mack and Too Tough Tony are in this stupid fucking feud with the fucking Luciano family. So just give the belts to these fucking young kids and let these guys have fun tag matches.
Bro, nobody could beat the guy with the flaming fist. Come on.
Yeah.
That's not true. Fucking Matt Cardona did.
He was a cheating son of a bitch. That's why.
Matt Cardona, who Danhausen may have made fucking Zack Ryder again. Did you see that?
No, I didn't, but it sounds fucking awesome.
He has like Danhausen has like the Miz and Kit Wilson in his little like laboratory. And like, he's like, ah, Zack Ryder. And he's like, bro, I'm Matt Cardona. And he like touches the Miz. And he's like, ooh, he says one of his dumb cat, like, oh, you know it. And then like Danhausen says something. He goes, woo, woo, woo. And he walks away. And Danhausen just like smiles. It's fucking goofy. It's so fucking funny.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think that was on SmackDown.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been SmackDown. SmackDown?
Yeah, so like, I don't know where we, like, what the other brother of Funstruction? Where's he? Like, when are we going to, can we, Can Joe find the keys, please? Can we fucking just move on from this?
I just don't want any more. Like, I love Vito too. Like, I'm a fan of Vito. I like Vito. Enough with the backstage shit. Like, it's every week. It's the same thing, and everybody's a fucking. How in the fuck did you fucking pieces of fucking shit? And I gotta kick your fucking ass. And like every week. So we need a little change. A little change of tune there. I wouldn't mind that at all.
Who do you think is giving the zombies the drugs?
The person with the blue sweatshirt, duh.
Yeah, what a cliffhanger, though, at the end of the show. Barnabas is like, you look like my ex-wife or my wife. You look like her. Like, and they don't tell you who it is. He's got the glasses off. You can see his fucking eyes.
I don't. Yeah, that's a tough call.
Right? Who do you think it's? Fucking Amazing Maria? Ellie J?
No.
Who are we bringing in? Mickey Knuckles? I saw some fucking.
Yes.
Did you see she took some fucking crazy bump?
Why?
Which one?
One on the floor on the light tubes, or was really hurt?
Yeah, that looked fucking rough.
No, it didn't. It was a suplex on the floor.
I think
she was fine. She was selling. You guys should never doubt the power of Mickey Knuckles'.
I doubt the people that she wrestles sometimes, but I don't doubt her.
Dude, it was a suplex on the outside. She went with it. Like, this fucking guy, you suplexed her, and she screamed in pain. Like, oh, you're an asshole. You're fucking doing hardcore wrestling. This is what happens when you do hardcore wrestling.
Matches.
You can almost die. It's death is in the fucking name of the match.
Did you see the, what was it, the croc spot or whatever?
No, I did not see that.
Oh, my God. Somebody put – it was either, like, sandals or Crocs, and they had
Crocs.
Thumbtacks on the inside. They put it on her feet and just hit them with a chair right into her feet, just impaled them. It was wonderful.
Yeah, crucify her like Jesus. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Write it down.
No, do not write that down.
No, that's where you draw the line? Crucifier like Jesus?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I mean, look, it was probably a great spot. I mean, I enjoy that stuff, but, you know, I wouldn't compare it to our Lord and Savior.
Your Lord and Savior.
Oh, all right, fine, you heathen.
I worship the devil. Come on.
You are the one that just said crucifier like Jesus.
Yeah.
Don't write it down.
Yeah, don't write it down.
Oh, gotcha. Don't write it down.
We don't need to rehash it.
Okay, gotcha.
I mean, I am but a sinner, HK. I say sometimes things that I regret, and I regret that.
Gotcha.
I do not need to be reminded of my faults in the after show. I get reminded of a lot of other things in the after show.
Or right before the after show.
Feels like a rape night, huh, Brundo? He's gonna write. Yeah, I see. He's ahead of the game.
That's always right. At the top of the list.
Feels like a rape night.
All right.
That might have been one of the funniest things on the Patreon episode is just hearing that every week and you go, no.
The best is, oh, and I almost forgot, rape night. And it was rape juice for a while, too.
Yeah. We went back and forth.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Yeah.
Rape juice is not good.
No.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's tasty. Awesome.
What would you, like, what's your, you know what? Never mind.
No, probably like grape flavored. Because who doesn't like grape? Maybe fruit punch?
Fruit punch I can do.
Yeah,
I don't fruit like punch.
Grape. I mean, grape, you know.
Grape doesn't taste like grapes.
What does it taste like? Purple?
Yes.
Tastes like grapes, you hand job.
No, it does not, dude. Grape soda does not taste like fucking grapes.
No, grape juice, not grape soda.
That's even worse. Grape juice doesn't taste like grapes either.
The title's not Rape Soda.
Yeah, it's grape soda. Yeah, come on, man.
Not yet.
What does rape taste like?
Apple juice.
Yeah, you know what?
I don't really care for apple
juice. It tastes like Jell-O. Jell-O pudding pops.
I do like a nice lemonade.
Yeah, but lemonade, like, not everybody's a fan of lemonade.
I love
it. Everybody's a fucking fan of rape juice.
I mean, who wouldn't be?
Or grape juice.
The official drink of Epstein Island.
Oh, are we going to make it to 800?
Over those, yeah,
or 45 minutes to go.
What, oh God, what were those? What were they? Squeeze-its?
Yeah.
They still make those?
Yeah, they do. Remember when we had the,
the fact that you knew that so quickly and were so excited about it got me a little bit worried, Brundlefly.
No, when we had the throwback show, I found those at a Walmart and drank them during the show, the 80s show.
Wait, the quarter waters, the barrel juices?
No.
Oh, fruit hug barrels?
Quarter waters.
Those are good.
By the way, Julio, it's delicious.
Which one?
Probably all of them, knowing Julio.
Yep.
Is there anything else in the current state of professional wrestling you guys want to talk about before we attempt to rebook the 1993 King of the Ring?
Hey, JR is back in the hospital. Not doing very good at all.
Not surprised. Don't count me out, God damn it.
Did anyone take him in the pool?
Nope. I don't think. Well, I don't
really?
Think so.
I thought you did.
I thought I did.
Somebody, I'm pretty sure somebody did.
I gotta log into the Google Drive.
Let me. You have no updates on the death pool, right? The last.
No, nobody had that guy that passed away.
Oh, but the fucking Duke of Dorchester, Pete Dorchester,
Pete Dor. Yeah.
There you go, Pete Dorchester. What an asshole I am.
Oh, maybe nobody did have Jim Ross.
Nobody had Jim Ross.
Yeah.
I mean, Justin Credible is on somebody's list. But no Jim Ross.
He's been quiet, right?
He's busy recording his podcast.
Is he still doing that?
I don't fucking know. What do you think? I know everything? Come on, man.
Sometimes, yes, I do. Let's see what old DJ's on. Let's see. I got his figure.
He finally mailed it to you?
No, I didn't order it from him.
You got his figure from about a year and a half ago, Double T.
Go figure.
He is promoting.
Woof! Holy shit, that just fucking hit me.
That was so good.
Wow.
He is promoting his.
I may not win, I may not lose, but I'm going to do my best. Holy shit.
He is promoting. I guess he's big on the DraftKings, a lot of DraftKings retweets, and I guess he has a figure from another company coming out.
Fucking asshole. God, he's such a piece of shit. Wow. Where can I pre-order it? Just send my money directly to his wife?
No. You got to go to Grapplers and Gimmicks.
Boy. Oh.
You can get the PJ Polacco, Aldo Montoya, and the Kim Chi figure.
Wait, he was Kim Chi as well?
No, but I think it's part of the set.
Wow.
Who was Kim Chi? Was that Paul Diamond?
Kim Chi was
Steve Lombardi for a while.
Oh, okay.
He may not have been the only one. And there was a Friday before Kim Chi came along.
Yes. Fridays in 1984. I watched that on WWF Championship Wrestling.
Let me see. Let me look that up real quick. Who played Kim Chi WWF?
He was in the 17 Battle Royal, I remember, the gimmick one.
Yep. Kim Chi?
Yeah.
He played Kim Chi during the 1986, 87, and 1992 stints. And briefly in 93 as a singles wrestler? What?
Well, Kim Chi?
I guess he was wrestling too. I don't know.
Yeah, once in a while.
It's all just Steve Lombardi.
Okay.
It's all. Who played Friday?
Oh, God. I think it was some independent guy from like the Midwest.
Frank Dalton.
Yep.
Frank Dolphin.
Dude, AI is amazing. The character Friday, who's the masked handler and event manager for wrestler Kamala, was played by two men, Frank Dalton and later Steve Lombardi. If you are instead referring to Tiny Lister Jr., who played the bully Debo in the movie Friday, he also wrestled in the WWF as Zeus. What a weird thing to come up, huh?
And Z-Gangsta.
Z-Gangsta.
One day I'll assign the Zeus Abdul the Butcher match from the early 90s indies as homework.
I seem to remember that that was actually a pretty good match.
How high were you when you watched it?
No, I was high on wrestling, bro. Steve Lombardi and Zeus. Steve Lombardi. Fucking Abdul the Butcher and Zeus. Why not? I'm sure it was fantastic. Speaking of fantastic, who wants to explain the gimmick to the people?
Okay, so it's June. It's King of the Ring. HK's been hanging this beautiful King of the Ring flag for the last couple of weeks. And after last week's show, I just was like, you know, I was looking at the King of the Rings and a lot of the years there were qualifying matches. And I said, what if we flip-flopped them, right? And we did the King of the Ring with the losers of the qualifying matches. So I went through 93, 94, 95, 96, 98, 99. I don't think 97 they did one. And I sent a list of guys to you gentlemen, and we decided the 93 King of the Ring we were going to flip-flop, and we were going to rebook it with the losers of all the qualifying matches. A graphic was a pain in the ass for me to make, so I didn't make a graphic. I apologize. I'm not super duper handy with that, but we did decide what we were doing with this Tito Santana situation.
Tito gets a bye.
Tito gets a bye. We're putting Tito's right into the semis.
Of course, Tito gets a bye. Yeah. Why wouldn't he?
Well, because that means Tito got a bye in the original King of the Ring tournament then, right? In the actual King of the Ring? So he didn't lose. He won, so he shouldn't be allowed. So the person who wins the match that would have been against him should get the bye. Get what I'm saying?
Oh, bizarre.
Right? Because Tito didn't lose. Tito won. So the person, the people, whoever wins the match that was going to go against Tito should get a bye in the second round.
Yikes.
A la Ted DiBiase.
Well, this is your field. Let's before we decide who's going to face off against Tito, because Bret Hart did get a bye in the 1993 King of the Ring. He didn't have to have a qualifying match.
What a dick.
Well, he's defending King of the Ring.
Well, not in 93.
Yeah. I thought he was in 93.
No, 93.
He won the
94 was the one that aired, right?
Bret Hart wins the 1993 King of the Ring.
Yeah, but he won 92. They had like an unaired 92 King of the Ring. I believe he won that.
Okay, yeah, because Owen won 94, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So then this is Brett's pay-per-view King of the Ring win.
Yeah.
The first official King of the Ring as far as like WWE canon as as a pay-per-view event.
Yeah, because didn't Don Morocco win a King of the Ring in the 80s too?
Don Morocco won one. I think Tito won one. I think Harley Race won one.
DiBiase might have won one.
Yeah. Ted DiBiase.
Did Haku win one? He just won. I think he just won the thing from Harley Race.
85 was Morocco. 86 was Race. 87 was Savage. 88, DiBiase. 89 was Tito. 91 was Brett.
91, okay.
No King of the Ring in 92, according to the Google machine. All right, let me just make sure to double check that before we move forward, because I'm a maniac. Yeah, nothing in 90. Oh, man, we could have done a runner-up. All right, anyway, so Tito right now, he has a bye. We're going to figure this out. Your next matchup, Doink the Clown against Kamala, Papa Shango against Typhoon, Bobby B against Giant Gonzalez.
What a fucking match that would have been. What and this is bowling Kamala, I think, too, right?
Oh, you are a man, Kamala.
Yeah.
You are a man, Kamala.
All right, so let's work our way up here. Let's start with Giant Gonzalez, Bob Backlund.
Now, let me ask you this. Winner of this tournament go on to SummerSlam to face the champion?
I mean, that would be the next pay-per-view, would be SummerSlam at that point.
I will say yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. Okay. For the purpose of this exercise, I think there has to be something at stake here, right?
Yep. And the champion that he will be facing is going to be Yokozuna.
Correct.
Okay. Just want to make sure we're touching all the bases here.
All right. So Giant Gonzalez against Bobby B.
I mean, obviously, this is going to be a technical classic.
Well, look, you have clearly Bobby B is better than the Giant Gonzalez, right? So you would think Bobby B maybe goes in there, picks apart the legs. You can't expect the Giant Gonzalez to go multiple times in one night, can you?
Yes, he's a fucking monster of a man. I'm taking Giant Gonzalez on this one all the way. He's a fucking monster, dude. Harvey Whippleman at ringside? Come on.
Bobby B.
Bobby B has a shot.
Still with Harvey, yeah.
I do think Bobby B has a shot. I think Bobby B takes him down. Once you get the big man off his feet, you work the legs.
Bobby B lost to Razor Ramon at WrestleMania. Come on.
Bobby B was in the fucking Royal Rumble for an hour and 2 minutes.
Oh, great. I could probably survive a Royal Rumble for an hour and 2 minutes. I'll just sit in the corner the whole time. What does that mean? Absolutely nothing.
Now, I'm not anointing Bobby B the champion here.
Ah, you kind of are. I see where it's going. You want him to take on Yoko. I get it.
No, I do not want him. Dear God, no. That'd be worse than Jey Uso and fucking Cody Rhodes at SummerSlam.
There's nothing wrong with Jey Uso and Cody Rhodes. I just don't think we want to see Bobby B and Yokozuna. I'm going Giant Gonzalez. The guy's a monster of a man.
There's two other people on the panel I will let speak. Because yeah, me and Tony will speak, argue bro. With
each I, other. I would be interested in this match. I'd like to see, because Bobby B is deceptively strong. I would love to see what he could do with Giant Gonzalez lifting him, maybe putting him on the ropes or whatever. But then Giant Gonzalez is going to beat him.
My man!
Squash his OP head.
Brando! Love it.
So, I love Bobby B. Yeah. I love him. Now, for the purposes of this, I have Gonzalez, and I actually have him squash Bobby B.
Fuck so, yeah, there it is.
Stay with me. The reason why is that this him squashing Bobby B in this tournament starts him losing his mind slowly, right there. That's what starts it. So he comes in, Gonzalez squashes him. I don't know if he chops him a couple of times in the court, just chops right to the fucking dome. Puts him down, quick match. I mean, 4 or 5 minutes. Bobby gets no offense, and that's what starts the ticking time bomb. That is his mind that goes. So that's why I go Giant Gonzalez in this one, because I think he can do something with Bobby on the other side of it. It can trigger something in Bobby over there too. So both come out with a plus.
All right. So it looks like it's Giant Gonzalez moving on to the second round here. Yes, we're all in agreement.
All right.
Fuck yeah.
We move up to Papa Shango and the Typhoon. And I think this is this natural disaster Typhoon a face yet?
Yeah.
By this point, yeah. Yeah, they turned in 92, I think. Yeah. Or maybe late 91 or something. This is post-earthquake, too. So, like, Typhoon's just, like, he hung around for a while.
Not doing shit.
Yeah, pretty much. But this is I think this is the end of Pop Shango as well, too. I don't think he does much after this either.
He doesn't. There's really not much doing for him after this.
So so Papa Shango was a face at this point?
No.
No.
Typhoon was.
Yeah.
Yeah, because in the original King of the Ring, Typhoon lost to Bam Bam, and Papa Shango lost to my guy Jib Duggan.
Oh,
yeah! I'm thinking Typhoon's got to win this one, right?
Because Typhoon ain't falling for none of that fucking voodoo mumbo jumbo shit.
Yeah, what's and the winner do? The winner is going to go on to wrestle the Giant Gonzalez. I think you got to do good guy, bad guy, no?
Yeah.
You don't have to.
You don't have to. But
93 King of the Ring, you have to.
You don't have to. You don't have to. It's got to be. It has to be Papa Shango.
Why?
It has to be. Why? Typhoon's got nothing cooking at all. Absolutely no. And even well, no, but that's the thing. Like Typhoon is always going to be associated with the tugboat character, right? And the natural disasters. And you already got one half of the disasters is gone. So you can't do anything with Typhoon. Even if he wins, there's nothing you're going to do. Nothing's going to be accomplished by him moving on to this tournament. Now, Papa Shango, at least you could still breathe life into that character, getting him a win, making him move on in the tournament. You could still do something with Shango. You're not doing shit. You're not doing shit with Typhoon.
Maybe not with Typhoon, but what if the old Tugger comes back for a run?
Still no.
What if we what if we put the sailor's hat on his head?
And I don't.
He comes out with the red and white stripes. Fuck yeah!
I don't think in 93 they were into semen.
Everyone's into semen. Every oh, come on. Year.
Pat Patterson and the Ring Boys, they're definitely
into semen. It's a bigger semen.
You could easily have that. You know, there is one boat that survived the typhoon. It's the tugboat, baby.
Fuck yes! Yes! I'll replace Typhoon with Tugboat in the bracket. I'm going Tugger.
I'm with you on that one. Because also, think... The way Vince is still, you know, big guy, loving the big guys and everything. And I think they want the visual of Typhoon and Giant Gonzalez facing off.
Oh, my God. The fucking massive humanity against the fucking Giant Gonzalez.
Wait, though. Because, wait a second.
Waco, like Texas?
Yeah. Let me get the gun. Shoot. So...
What a reference.
You have to, like, having him advance, you have to be able to see him as the King of the Ring. You know what I mean? Like, in advancing, you have to be able to visualize him and be able to see him as the King. And advancing him, do you see King Tugger or do you see King Shango? Right? Because there's no believability to me in having a King Tugger. There's believability in having a King Shango.
There's plenty of people that have moved on in King of the Rings that I never would have thought in a million years. Fucking Doink the Clown moved on as a good... Or no, not Doink the Clown, Rhodey. Nobody saw King Rhodey moving on at one point. And he moved on in a King of the Ring, I think in 95.
Yeah, I just don't... I mean, I'm not on the Tugger boat. I'm on the Shango wagon, but you know, that's where I stand.
No, I'm on the Tugger. Look, this, and I think you're right, Brendo Fly. I think this is the last of Shango, right? Because the Supreme Fighting Machine is in the 94 King of the Ring, is he not?
95. He goes to a draw with Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels, yeah.
Yeah, no, because he comes back with the Million Dollar Corporation.
Yes. No, I'm on Typhoon. I like this whole, like, only one ship survived. That's a great fucking King Typhoon promo at the end of the pay-per-view.
But it's King Tugger, not Guy Typhoon at that point.
Yeah, but he wins it. It's King Typhoon. The fans rejoice. They embrace him. He gets up there. One ship survived the typhoon. Tugboat is back. The place is going fucking crazy. Yeah.
The place is not going crazy. No, they don't.
Bro, I'd have a fucking moon stem and a half if that happened.
Just for the spectacle.
Who's giving you the half?
Harvey Whippleman. Just for the spectacle of the fucking Typhoon and Giant Gonzalez in the next round, I love this. I love the Typhoon.
I hate it, but I'm outnumbered.
I'm in. The next one. So we're moving Typhoon along. It's 3-1. That seems to be the consensus here with the Giant Gonzalez, Bobby B, and the Typhoon and the Shango. 3-1. Next up is You are Man Kamala and the evil Doink the Clown.
Okay, yeah. So then I guess the question first is, what are we doing with the other side? So Bret Hart has a bye, right?
Right.
So that means that Bret Hart goes on, there's no loser. Tito Santana lost to Razor Ramon, so Tito technically goes on to the second round then, no? Is that what we're doing? Because then we got to go babyface heel, don't we?
We don't have to, but I
mean, but we played it down below.
Right, and I do think, like, look, if you watch 93 Kamala, like, with Slick, it's kind of like he can't figure out how to pin somebody, and then on the flip side, like Doink is like crushes skull with a fucking fake arm. Like the evil clown beats the like dumb fucking dude that lives in the woods.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that one. I think Doink is, out of all the people we talked about here, Doink might have the most momentum of anybody in this loser bracket tournament.
Yeah, he had a big win at WrestleMania
a
couple months earlier.
And if Matt Bourne doesn't go insane or whatever happened to him, I think there might have been even more plans for Doink.
And I can completely see Vince McMahon in this time period getting Doink the Clown a world title shot. You know what? I'm sold on Doink.
Yeah,
sorry, Kamala. Too. Go back to the bowling alley, buddy.
Or Jerry Jarrett's house, the backwoods.
So Kamala at this point wouldn't need shoes anyway because he fucking wrestles barefoot. And then later on in life, he wouldn't need shoes again.
I don't think it's any... There's no question it's Doink to me in this one. I guess it's another situation where you can do something with Doink and you're not really going to do anything with Kamala coming out of this. So, and there's absolutely no steam on Kamala whatsoever, and Doink coming out of the vicious program with that piece of shit Crush. Yeah, it's a Doink thing for me.
Piece of shit Crush. How dare you?
Really?
Love Crush.
Hate him.
What do you hate about him?
Everything.
Is his hair?
Yeah, hate his hair. Shaka Bra.
Shaka Bra?
Yeah.
His finisher? Bra. The Kona Crush?
Yeah, hate that. Shaka Bra.
Love the Kona Crush.
Didn't he use the heart punch too at one point?
Yeah, sure did.
Jailbird Crush was
Convict Crush.
Yeah. Yeah.
Convict Crush.
All right, so Doink easily takes care of Kamali. You know, he fucking tricks him into pinning himself or eating his foot or doing something goofy.
Kamali.
Hits him with a bowling pin.
Yeah, he fucking tricks him. He hits Slick with something. He slips on a fucking banana peel. Evil Doink.
He pretends to juggle with bowling pins. And, you know, Kamala loved to bowl. Distracts him and whack. Knocks the feet right off him.
So we put El Matador. He's right into the second round.
Yeah, I would think that's the way we got to do it, no?
Yeah.
All right. Tito gets the bye. It's fine by me. I have no problem with it. I think it's I like the irony, if you believe everybody's stories, right? Came down to Brett or Tito. Who's going to beat Flair for the title? Well, we find ourselves in a situation again where who gets the bye? Brett or Tito? And Tito got the bye. So your second round is looking like El Matador, Tito Santana against Doink the Clown, and Typhoon against Giant Gonzalez. Man. Now, let me ask you guys as we piece this together, how Yoko as the champion at SummerSlam, like how much is that impacting your decision as we get into the second round here?
Not much.
Not much, yeah.
It does for me. Absolutely does for me. Because if we're lining up a babyface, right now we're looking who's going to go. Is it going to be Tugger, who's the bigger choice? Probably sizes up better with Yoko. But then we're going to have just two big slobs going at it. Or do we saddle up El Matador?
Or, you know, King of the Ring's going on. Yoko wasn't the champion coming into King of the Ring. Hogan still was. So that's something to think about.
Yeah, but don't forget, too, like, I mean, Brett wins as a face knowing that a title shot's coming. And then they pivoted to Yokozuna because Hogan didn't want to drop, you know?
And Brett ends up in the program with Lawler too.
Oh, Jerry Lawler.
Right, Brett doesn't get his shot until 10, and he has to do the double fucking Royal Rumble thing.
Yeah, that's true. So this one doesn't even this one. So this one means it's but in our world, this means a title shot then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if it's in our world and we're going for a title shot, I think Doink the Clown's going to fucking beat Tito then. No?
No.
I'm thinking, are we doing Tito, who might get a match out of Yoko, or are we going two slabs of beef? And do two slabs of beef, like, sell tickets?
The problem is Doink is... I like Doink because he's the evil clown.
Yeah, I love Doink too.
And I think like him using shitty tactics to beat Tito is a great way to put him in the finals. But that there you can't make him the king, right? Because then you're gonna do Doink Yoko. You can't turn Doink face. Do you turn Yoko face? Probably not.
Unless we do a Tito Giant Gonzalez final.
You could turn Doink face. I think, I mean, you could even do it. You could even do it within the night itself. Realistically. I mean, if you know, Tito's got Tugger's back and Tugger's supposed to have Tito's back. We already know that Tugger's a no good piece of shit. He's, you know, he turned on the Hulkster, right?
Maybe he wants his fans back.
Very, very possible. You could get him. You could turn him. It's just getting that double turn somewhere in there. And I think you can get Doink face. You could get Yoko face too. So I don't, you know what I mean? Like you could do either one. You could get there. It's just how you get
there. What you if, know, well, how about this? How about this real quick? What if you go Doink Giant Gonzalez and you have Harvey Whippleman be the impetus to cause the face turn, right? So Harvey starts cheating like nuts and starts making Doink the de facto baby face, the sympathetic guy. And then it comes down to it. Every time Doink tries to get the upper hand, Harvey Whippleman interferes. And eventually you get the one spot where Harvey's involved and he winds up fucking Giant Gonzalez winds up socking Harvey Whippleman. And then Doink hits him with the fucking whoopee cushion and that's it. He fucking slays the beast and he gets the crowd behind him.
Why would you have Gonzalez hitting Whippleman though?
Because Whippleman's cheating for him, and like Whippleman grabs fucking Doink on the ropes, and then Gonzalez goes to give him one of them fucking chops of his, and he chops Harvey, and he looks all distraught.
It's a miscommunication.
Yeah, and he looks all distraught, and when he turns around, say fucking Doink waffles him with the fake arm, and then he looks around, and everybody starts cheering. Yeah, because now he fucking got one over on him, and he goes up, whoopee cushion, 1, 2, 3.
I think that you could get there with Giant Gonzalez and Doink and getting Doink to turn face, but I think that you have to get the sympathy on it by Gonzalez ripping the shit out of Doink. You know what I mean? Like you have
But then every time Doink starts to come back, Harvey Whippleman is like jumping up on the apron, tripping a leg, you know. And then eventually he gets up on the apron for that grab spot and that's it.
You're doing like micro hopes.
Build them up,
but and they're just the smallest portions, and that's back to Gonzalez beating the hell out of them. And I think ultimately, if you can get the fans to get to that almost that like shocked, like I can't believe how much Gonzalez is beating the shit out of Doink, and get to that sympathetic spot there, and then I think you actually use Doink with his some type of trick, right? Because he's a clown, and that's how you get there with him winning the match. But I think you can do it.
Let him waffle him with the fake arm.
Yeah.
Or you could have a second Doink. Do the old second. Twin magic.
Yeah.
But you got to be careful, though. You don't like the twin magic, like, got him his win at WrestleMania as a heel. You don't want to cross that line where, like, oh, he's just a piece of shit anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Fair enough. Good point. So I do like, though, Gonzalez is a fucking monster. He kills fucking Typhoon in this.
Yeah. Round. 100%.
Yeah.
Just kills Typhoon, really?
Destroys him. Right? Come on. Right?
Yeah. Oh, fucking. Wait. If we're doing Typhoon, no big splash kick out at 2, and everybody's like, what the fuck?
You can.
You know?
You come out, he's hot. come out the gate hot. Typhoon fucking knocks him down, hits him with a big splash. The Giant Gonzalez kicks out at two.
Yeah. And then it's beat down city.
Yeah, beats the, because we got to get the fucking, we got to turn Doink now, right?
And it's beat down, but it's quick. Like, he doesn't have to fucking really slaughter him. He's just got to put an exclamation point on it.
I don't think, I don't even think he'd give him the splash and the two. I really don't. If he runs through Bobby B, former champion, longstanding champ, and then he runs through fuck Tugger, I think it's better that way, because then you got, you can go into the match with Doink, having Doink, even though he's still a heel going in, questioning, you know what I mean? Like he can go in and play that. He's like, what's going to happen? This guy, Gonzalez obviously is just run through, Bobby B and Tugger, no problem. I don't think he even give. Yeah. I get another run through by Gonzalez in that match. It works out better.
See,
Brendan,
I still think there's a way you could do Doink as a heel at SummerSlam.
Okay.
And HK, you're going to hate this.
I love it.
But
already.
Remember who the other person to pick up Yokozuna on the Intrepid was?
Scott Burrell, the basketball player?
Kona Crush.
No.
He got him off the. You have him slam Yokozuna on the Intrepid. You can give them a match at Raw at some point. Crush wins the title. You get Doink and Crush at SummerSlam.
Are you out of your fucking mind, Brundlefly?
I love
WrestleMania
it.
Rematch.
No, absolutely not.
Wow, look at Brundlefly. I love it.
Yeah, and then you just shit on Lex Luger. Who gives a shit, right?
Yeah, whatever. What did he do? He won by count out at SummerSlam.
Once he slammed Yokozuna, Lex Luger, he had like two matches.
He was on the Lex Express.
Yeah,
sleeping with his patriotic pillow and
not wanting to fucking interact with people. Fuck him. I love this idea, Brundo.
All for
Doink
it.
Walks out of SummerSlam as the fucking world champion. He fucking beats Crush again.
Three Doinks this time.
No.
The Triple D?
Yokozuna was the champion for the sake of this exercise. God damn it. And Brundlefly's like, oh no, we'll put the belt on Crush. You're insane.
He's a pro. Giving Crush the title would have killed the company.
I'd only have it for 2 months.
Attaboy, MB. You know what you're saying.
I do like face. Why is this not going away? I do like face Doink, though. I do like that idea.
Yeah.
And like he beats Tito in like a respectable way. Like he rolls him up. Like he doesn't cheat.
Right.
No trickery. Then Giant Gonzalez just beating the shit out of him. His fucking wig is all torn. His dumb fucking costume's all ripped up.
His paint's almost gone. It's just like eyeballs left of paint.
You know, you could even add another, because obviously this is taking place, the semifinals and the finals are taking place on the same night, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
At that point, you could even get what I wanted to have happen. If you have Doink beat Tito in a clean fashion, and Tito attacks Doink post match, gives him a couple flying forearms. Give me Cholo Tito, right? And then you already have Doink's already down, and then Gonzalez is like, he's going to crush him already. Like, you already get that, like, step into the sympathy already, because
the Spanish connection there, Tito and Gonzalez.
There you go. Love it. Yes. Now I'm in. I'm even hard now. Look.
El Matador and the Furry Man.
God, then Gonzalez could be Tito's muscle after that.
Could you imagine if the fucking 1993 King of the Ring final was Doink the Clown and the Giant Gonzalez?
Yeah. And
Mabel would be looking a lot better.
No, he wouldn't.
Mabel's dog shit.
Well, yeah.
I like Tony's idea. I like fucking King Doink here. I like the fucking, the natural, fucking. You just give little bits and pieces of the fucking too much for one man, and then he overcomes the 2-on-1, and people are going crazy for Doink, and Harvey Whippleman's laying on the fucking on the mats with his stupid glasses all over the place, and the Giant Gonzalez got his furry boots in the air.
Doink standing fucking proud.
So I love it. I love Doink winning. I think King Doink would have worked. I think it was fantastic. What I wanted to, like, my whole thought process going into this when I saw all the matchups, all that, I wanted to have the final be Shango Doink. I wanted face Doink against Heel Shy. I wanted the voodoo magic of Shango.
All right.
Against the, you know what I mean, the clown magic of Doink. I thought that would be a fun match and see where the cards fly. That's kind of what I was hoping to see happen. But Doink winning the whole thing, the way it plays out, I'm for it. I'm for it.
I think that would have been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then he got face Doink going against fucking, and he can bring in fucking Dink and Stink and Pink, yeah, and
Link.
And all his clown magic, yeah, against fucking Yokozuna and Mr. Fuji. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you imagine Mr. Fuji goes to throw the salt and he throws it? And it turns into a fucking handkerchief or
it's confetti.
That would be great.
Yeah, it just throws fucking confetti out of the thing.
Yeah, I'm in on that.
Oh, brilliant.
I love it. This was great.
This was fun. I can't wait to do this again.
You're going to have to.
Yeah, we're going to do it with the fucking WCW world title in 1999 next.
Oh, great.
Can we just do like...
64, what was that, like a 32-man tournament?
So.
Can we just do Battle Bowl?
Well, it ends in a Battle Royal, though.
Yeah, works.
But we'll do something. This was a lot of fun.
A lot of fun. A lot of fun. Good call.
Yeah, just, absolutely. Yeah,
I think it was just as fun as homework.
Wait. Transition.
Trying to move it along. We're making good time here.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, we got a good pace here. I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
I can't wait to talk about homework for a half an hour.
Fuck me, fuck me, fuck me, fuck
me. HK, you were up this week and you took us back to the 2000 Royal Rumble for old Triple H and Cactus Jack.
Yeah.
A little surprising based off of your dislike of the Necro Butcher and the blood.
That match was too much blood and this and that.
I didn't say it was too much blood. I didn't say that. Take
a match that has barbed wire and thumbtacks and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
What, why did you bring us back to this, my friend?
This was like as violent, I think, as a match that I can get into. I love Mick, and I think that Mick and H work really well together. All the matches that I've seen them work, I don't know, for whatever reason, my mind, H is underrated. Like he belongs up there, and a lot of people put him up there. Maybe it's because of the position he holds now, but wanted to see if the match held up. It'd been a long time since I've seen it. I think with Mick just coming back, they're appearing, I guess, showing up in AEW. I'm always up for a Mick match. I got Mick as a centerpiece in my collection here. And I remember really enjoying this match. It's been a long time since I've watched it, so I wanted to just, see if it held up. See if the violence was in fact too much for my palate at this point in my life.
Was it?
I'm going to say no. But I think there's a reason why. Throughout the entire match, like even though it's a violent match, it still feels like a wrestling match and not just a fucking, it's a street fight, obviously, but it still feels like a wrestling match versus two guys just beating the shit out of each other. You know what I mean? Like, well, I say it's supposed to look violent. It's supposed to look horrific and gruesome. And you know what I mean? It's supposed to look like a fight. And this looked like it, but it also looked like they were wrestling. You know what I mean? Like they were taking care of each other. So I loved it, man. I'm a fan. I didn't like that pallet through the leg. That kind of fucked me up, but.
Well, these things happen when you're having a New York City street fight.
Right. Fuck yeah.
Hey, crowd work in any match. Crowd work kind of sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. It was cool. It was one of those things that was pretty cool back in the day because you never really saw it.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays it's like, all right, punch, 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 punch. All right, let's get back to the ring.
Yeah, crowd work. I don't know. I just don't see a real fucking place for it anymore.
You mean working through the crowd?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, because the crowd work, I'm thinking like Kevin Owens just jaw jacking people and shit.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, like a stand up.
Yeah, no, like that's when I think crowd. No, when I think crowd work, it's like actually like interacting with the crowd, not just brawling through. You know?
Yeah, working in the crowd, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean that was the thing at this time, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You wound up going through the crowd.
Yeah.
All I could think of every time Jim Ross said "Mankind" was,
"God damn it, it's fucking Cactus Jack, you fucking cripple!" Just. Oh, I could just hear Vince just fucking yelling at him.
You fucking cripple.
I can just hear, if you read all the books and everything everyone says about Vince, just screaming at, he called him Mankind for like the first 5 minutes of the match. The point where Jerry Lawler was making fun of him.
Yeah.
I called a few MJF matches, and I kept calling him Feinstein before he switched over to Friedman. And the funny thing was, oh God, what the hell was Troy? What's his name?
Troy Nelson, Top Shelf.
Yes, when I was commentating with him, he's like, you know, it's Friedman. I gave him the JR line. I said, don't worry, I'll get it. I really made myself laugh when I said it too. I had a big smirk on my face.
You know, nobody does it better than WWE with the pre-match video package, setting everything up. Obviously, they did a great job putting over the severity of the match and how dangerous it's going to be. Steph comes out with trips. Yep. She goes away.
Prime Stephanie McMahon, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She looks worried too, which makes the match feel even more important and more dangerous.
And I just love that old, like the Big Eagle title. I love the way that thing looked. Like it didn't really work with Austin much, but Triple H wearing it fucking looked amazing on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right over there.
The pacing of the match was perfect. Mm-hmm. It was nonstop action. This really did hold up. The crowd in New York City was into it. The fucking Mick going up the ramp, and Jerry Lawler's like, where's he going? He's trying to leave, and the fucking Rock comes out, and the cop on.
Oh, man, he crushed him with that chair shot.
I tell you what did bother me. They handcuff Cactus Jack, right? Mm-hmm. Street fight. There's fucking plunder everywhere. Earl Hebner is stopping Cactus Jack from biting Triple H. He's fucking handcuffed. Earl, what are we doing here?
He also took the fucking barbed wire 2x4 out of the ring and fucking gave it to, God, who was it, Hector, or whoever the goddamn the Spanish announce team was. Like, that bothered the hell out of me. And I actually, like, I know I shouldn't have, but I can't help it. When it looked like he fucking hurt his leg and he's wobbling around out there, I was fucking laughing my ass.
Oh, Earl, yes.
I from what I remember, I think they did that spot with the barbed wire bat to switch off to a gimmicked barbed wire bat. I think the story was that there were two of them, and like they revealed the real one, but then went with the gimmicked one. I think that's what it was. But another thing to go to your point, referees, I get it. It's a street fight. It's supposed to be no holds barred. These guys are supposed to hit each other with everything. But I think an important aspect of that is, the referee still has to be a human being, right? So if the referee sees like something that's like really egregious or really out of the ordinary, he's got to do his best to not have these guys maim each other. You know what I'm saying? Like a death match, who gives a shit? These guys want to fucking cut each other up, let them have at it. But when it comes to a street fight, I think there is like I said, that human aspect where the referee doesn't want to see somebody get like an ear bitten off or a chunk of flesh missing from their body. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah. Hands were handcuffed behind his back. He couldn't defend himself.
I understand, but it's still biting. So like you kind of, I get it. Cause it's an emotional moment for everybody involved. Like I don't really have a problem with that so much. Like I understand why you guys like don't like that, but I get it. And it also goes to the fact that these guys are really trying to kill each other. Somebody's got to be like the fucking person thinking rationally at this point, you know? And if it's the referee, then so be it. That's why I don't mind if somebody picks up like the fucking, like a chainsaw and they're coming at him and the referee's just got to like, come on, dude. No, not that. That's enough. You know what I'm saying?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. No, 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 no.
there's a big difference between a fucking chainsaw and the barbed wire, Tony.
And biting somebody's face, really? You're still looking for a chunk of flesh, bro. Come on.
A chainsaw and a bite.
It was an example. All right, say it wasn't a chainsaw. Say it was an ice cream scoop and he wanted to fucking check his oil with it.
Earl's not stepping in front of Cactus Jack when Triple H is going to brain him with a chair when he can't defend himself because his hands are handcuffed behind his back.
He fucking annihilates him. That piece of chair flies off. Jesus.
I get what you're saying, Tony, and I can appreciate what you're saying. I think that there is an angle there. Sure, it's bullshit, but I can see where you're coming from.
I guess we'll have to agree to disagree, pal.
Speaking of agree to disagree, is My Time the worst Triple H theme of all
no!
time?
No!
Really?
I love My Time.
Listen
one,
it
two,
back.
Is this on?
No. Come on. I hated it.
Yes. Now, the original one before they put the lyrics in was kind of like sounded like fucking dying seagulls. But once they started with the singing and everything, there is a difference. Go find it. It's fucking putrid.
Yeah, not the worst Triple H entrance theme.
No. What's the worst Triple H entrance theme?
Maybe Bow Down to the King.
Oh, that's a rough one. That one is rough, yeah.
That's rough.
It's all Tony.
I love Time to Play the Game, but Bow Down to the King was just like fucking way too gratuitous.
I think that I'd still take that over, you know,
Evolution.
When he was coming down to just classical jams. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather like a unique song to him as opposed to just some classical jams.
Fuck, what the fuck was the original song he came out with as the Blue Blood?
It was just music. It was
No,
that was that was after.
That was after. That was in between.
He had some piano. Yeah, he had some piano tune that he used to come out to in the beginning.
Yeah, very soft, very nice. Yeah.
Yeah, it was
pulling
fine because he was
King
supposed
of the
to
ring.
Be, yeah, he was supposed
when
to be
when he won
blue
the King
blood.
Of the Ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are we thinking?
Look, I love the Rock involvement. I thought it was great because there was a story there. Stephanie coming out. The giant concerned look on her face, the thumbtacks at the end, because I don't think we've done the thumbtacks to death yet.
Yeah.
It was a huge
not
spot.
Yeah.
The Spanish announcing table not breaking, or one of the whatever table not breaking. And I chuckled when Mark Eaton was in there trying to take the monitors out.
Eaton.
But fucking thumbs up, man. Thumbs up all the way. Two pedigrees, one in the fucking thumbtacks.
That was a Mick Foley call right during the match.
Yeah.
Which made a fucking beautiful sense.
You could tell that it was too because he got up real quick from that first pedigree. Real quick.
Oh, the fighting spirit, bro.
Yeah. I see where you're going, Tony.
I mean, that's bullshit. I would call bullshit on that one for sure.
I'd be remiss too if I didn't mention when he did that pile driver on the table. He wedgied the fuck out of Triple H, too.
Well, that's what he did, man. He just fucking would just grab the tights. The fucking old stump pile driver.
But two thumbs up for me as well.
Fuck yeah.
Let me ask you guys this. Right? We all talk, when we talk Attitude Era, it's always like Austin, Rock, Taker. I think Mick Foley's like, he might have a rightful claim to like top three of the Attitude Era. Like,
100%.
You think when he came in, right? Diesel was out. Taker was working. He wrestled fucking Bundy at 11. Mabel, like, he didn't have any, like, exciting feuds at that time. Foley comes in. Fucking huge wins over The Undertaker. This completely changes the direction of The Undertaker's career at that point, right? Awesome match at Mind Games with fucking HBK. Right?
He considers that one to be the best of his career.
Great fucking, you know, we get the humanized side of mankind, and then we get Dude Love, and we get, you know, corporate dude.
Have mercy, daddy.
Austin, like the Austin Vince stuff, when Vince is in the hospital, like, I don't think it's as memorable if Foley's not involved.
Mr. Right? Socko.
I always thought of Mick Foley as number three in the Attitude Era. Like, it's obviously Austin Rock, but then easily Mick Foley is like right there. You just got to look at his title win. And how fucking loud that Worcester crowd was when he wins. Wooster.
And he gave so much when fucking China smashes his head in a fucking steel cage in summertime.
Yeah. When she sort of punches him in the thigh and the nuts.
he was kind of the primer for everybody.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. Because,
yeah.
And it's unfortunate because like he does get overlooked because he is the primer. You know what I mean? Look what he did for The Rock. Look what he did for Triple H. Look at what he did for even Steve Austin. He made a man out of fucking HBK. You know what I mean? Yep. Look what he did for The Undertaker. So, and you're listing off guys that are on a lot of people's fucking Rushmores, right? And it's unfortunate because he's priming these guys to be these Rushmore guys, he gets overlooked and isn't on the Rushmore like he should be. Like, I'm a huge Mick guy, and that's one of the reasons why. It's because look what he did for everybody that he fucking worked with. Every single person benefited from being in a program with Mick Foley. All the way through, even later on, Edge, Randy Orton, look at those motherfuckers. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, yep. The guy is absolutely incredible. He's one of my all-time favorites. I got his goddamn tattoo. Love him. I'll argue for his ass anytime.
I dare say this. I would put Kurt Angle in company with him too.
Yeah.
Because for all the titles that Kurt won and everything that he accomplished, he was that same kind of guy too for a long time. He was also a primer. And that's not bad company to be in. Those two guys, amazing talents.
100%.
Even another guy, Mick helped, Kurt Angle, even though he wasn't wrestling. That backstage stuff with Kurt Angle when he was the commissioner, Angle, Edge, and Christian. Yeah. It was fucking great TV.
Yep. Yeah. Love him. Love him.
So homework gets two thumbs up across the board. I think everybody's happy with your pick, HK. Tony, I believe this is you now.
And I've got a fucking doozy for episode 800. What year was this Mankind match? This was what? This was 2000?
2000, yeah.
I'm going to go back a year, and I'm going to do you one better. We're going to – this is a championship match. Four of the greatest participants ever to put on the boots, but they're going to be putting on evening gown matches. We're going back to Armageddon 1999. It's an evening gown pool match for the WWF Women's Championship. Ivory defends against Jacqueline, BB, and Miss Kitty with your special guest referees,
Jerry the King,
Fabulous Moolah and Mae Young. Oh, baby, are we in for a treat?
Yes, we are.
Oh, boy. I'm sending the link over to Matt now.
Did you go back a month?
Oh, was it from December?
Armageddon, yeah. December 99.
I feel like I'm writing the next chapter of Year in Duke and Rogue over here.
You might be.
I figure, look, we're going to be having a lot of fun, a lot of silliness next week. Hopefully we get a lot of questions from folks. We'll be playing some games and stuff, and just a silly little let's get back to like just some silliness in wrestling. And boy, this is a good one. This is a good one.
Could literally watch this while we're doing the show.
Yeah. We, you know what? That's not a bad idea. You want to do a theater?
2 minutes and 53 seconds.
You want to do a theater?
Yes.
We can do a theater next week.
Yes. Bring
it. We're not going to get in trouble or thrown off or anything. Or who gives a shit?
I found it on Daily Motion. If it hasn't gotten thrown off there, whatever.
All right. That works.
Cross that bridge when we get there, Brundo.
Yeah, fuck it. If they take it out, it's for everybody that joins us live next week and it doesn't make the replay. It is what it is.
They can't take it out of the audio.
No.
Fuck yeah.
You can't watch it, but you can listen to it.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
It'd be good times.
Goodness gravy. Well, this was a fucking hoot.
Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah.
You got all the the nighttime, the good night shit.
So excuse what?
Me. The end of the show bullshit.
The bullshit, really?
Sorry.
The fucking bullshit?
Is that what we're calling it, the bullshit?
No, the end of the show. What do you cue the music? What do you
say? All right, here we go. Time for the bullshit.
This has been a production of the Shining Wizards Network. For everything Shining Wizards, visit shiningwizards.com. And don't forget to listen to all the great shows of the Shining Wizards Network.
Creepy.
I don't know.
Wait, I can play some music if you want in the background.
I know what you're going to play. Play it.
Oh, stop it.
Please. You don't know. Please play the ring rap music. We would like to thank those that support us at our Patreon. Executive producer, Manny Kratzo. Producers, Kate. Does that say...
What?
Does that say Kale Hensler?
Cake
Hensler. Ryan Swan. Tom.
Golden
Al Cake. Helmer, Keith Parker. David Henry Bauer III. Jesse Elwell. Emily Brock. And there I don't biscuits.
Cake Hensler. Write it down, Brundo.
Written down already.
Want to wish a very special happy birthday to my wife, my beautiful wife, this Wednesday. Happy birthday, Molly. And good night, Diana.
Where the fuck did you get a Zeus doll from?
I have a Zeus doll, I think.
She's had quite a few dicks in her mouth. I love when he says swinging from dick to dick.
An orangutan, right? Is that what she said?
Fuck yeah! She's the ring rat.
What a catchy tune. I wonder who does it.
Clap, clap, clap.
It doesn't sound like the Insane Clown Posse, but it's got to be somebody.
Oh, no, definitely not. I think it's Mystical.
Twisted.
Oh, my it's Twisted?
Brother, my poor brother went with me to a fucking heavy metal festival because they were going to be there, and I don't think they knew what they signed up for. They never even went on stage.
Really?
Yeah, I think they were like, dude, they were playing on the stage with like Cradle of Filth and Cannibal Corpse and Dying Fetus, like
Anal Cunt?
Yes, I believe Anal Cunt was actually there.
That's great.
The Asbury Park Metal Fest, I think it was 2000. I bought a Slayer shirt and only realized years later that it had like Nazi logos all over it.
Jesus.
Oh, years later.
Yes, because I
know. I wore it in the neighborhood for decades.
I wore it like twice, and then I just kind of left it in the closet. And then one day I had it on, and somebody was like, bro, what are you doing? I'm like, it's my Slayer shirt. I'm like, you know, there's swastikas all over the back of that. I'm like, no, I didn't. I didn't know that at all.
No, Brundlefly, it's not still available.
Thank God.
Oh, shout out to Cake Hensler. See you next week, everybody.
Get those questions in.
Fuck oh, yeah, send them.
Yeah.
Discord, email, Twitters, wherever.
Text, whatever.
Join us live. Live.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm ending it. Relax. I see you fucking leaning back there.
Ooh. I was doing